from it. So today, I don't want to deviate. I want to build on what we learned the last time I came here. I said that when we're talking about the glory of God, there's a thin line between his glory, his presence, and then his power. Because I said, whenever you see God, God comes in all his fullness. When you see God, when you see the presence of God, you also see his glory and you also see his power. That is why Moses says, if your presence will not go with us, we will not go. Hallelujah. Because Moses understood what the presence of God can do. And indeed, God decided to go with them. And we saw the glory of God leading them in the cloud or by the cloud in the day and the fire by night. And when God had to demonstrate his power, we also saw it. Amen. So there's a thin line. So when we're talking about glory, we are talking everything about God himself. So today we want to talk about the subject for discussion this morning is protecting the glory of God in the church. Protecting the glory of God in the church. Because the glory, if the glory is important, then his presence is also important and his power is also very important. There's that possibility that if you are not very careful as a church, as an individual, we can lose the glory. And once we lose the glory, it means the presence is not there and the power is not there. The church will become powerless and we cannot do anything. And the enemy can easily overcome or override the church. But we pray in the name of Jesus that you and I will do whatever it takes to make sure that we keep the glory of God in the church. Hallelujah. The church belongs to him, but we can decide to evict him. We can decide to send Jesus outside the church. And it has happened before. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 will tell you that the church, Jesus was at the door of the church at Laodicea. Jesus was standing at the door outside knocking that the people will grant you the permission to come in. Meanwhile, he is the owner of the church. That the tenant had the audacity to evict the landlord from his church. So if you're not very careful, you see, if it happened to the church at Laodicea, it can also happen to Pia de Brisi. But we pray that God will help you and I so that we keep him in his church. Because once he's there, we can experience his glory, can experience his power, and his presence will go with the church and go with you as an individual. Amen. Oh, I said amen. So we want to take our Bible quickly. We want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 4. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. We want to take the whole chapter and learn some few lessons from it, and then we pray. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. If any fast reader can take it for me or can take it for us. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Reading the whole chapter. And the first reader, please. Or you want to mention names? If any of the young guys, ladies or gentlemen of the young guys, can do the reading for me. Oh, yes. One of the young guys, please. Oh, okay. Thank you, sir. Okay, now I say young guy. Yeah. You are a mom, so... Okay, thank you, sir. What's your name? Rupert, yes. Please go ahead. Hubert or R? Because I know Hubert. This is R. U. Okay. There's a seminary behind Pokora School, St. Hubert Seminary. But this is Rupert. Oh, P. Oh, okay. Rupert. Okay, please go ahead. Thank you, sir. Which version is that, please? Yeah, okay, next time you tell us your version. Thank you. So that we can... Please go ahead. Do we hear him, please? Give him a microphone. Thank you, Hubert. Rupert. Okay, I won't mention your name anymore. I'm getting confused. Okay.
At the time Israel was at war with the Philistines, the Israelite army was camped near Ebenezer and the Philistines were at Aphek. The Philistines attacked and defeated the army of Israel, killing 4,000 men. After the battle was over, the troops retreated to their camp, and the elders of Israel asked, "Why did the Lord allow us to be defeated by the Philistines. Then they said, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant to the Lord from Shiloh. If we carry it to the battle with us, it will save us from our armies, from our enemies. So they went, so they sent the men to Shiloh to bring the Ark of the Covenant to the Lord of the heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim, Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli, were also there with the Ark of the Covenant. When all the Israelites saw the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord coming to the camp, their shout of joy was so loud that it made the ground shake. What's going on? The Philistines asked. What's all the shouting about in the Hebrew camp? When they were told it was because of the Ark of the Lord had arrived, they panicked. The gods have come into their camp. They cried, this is a disaster. We have never had to face anything like this before. Help. Who can save us from these mighty gods of Israel? They are the same gods who destroyed the Egyptians with the plagues when Israel was in the wilderness. Fight as never before, Philistines. If you don't, we will become the Hebrew slaves, just as they have been ours. Stand up like men and fight. So the Philistines fought desperately, and Israel was defeated again. The slaughter was great. 30,000 Israelite soldiers died that day. The survivors turned and fled to their tents. The Ark of God was captured, and Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were killed. A man from the tribe of Benjamin ran from the battlefield and arrived at Shiloh later that same day. He had torn his clothes and put dust on his head to show his grief. Eli was waiting beside the road to hear the news of the battle, for his heart trembled for the safety of the Ark of the Lord. When the messenger arrived and told what had happened, an outcry resounded throughout the town. What is all the noise about? Eli asked. The messenger rushed over to Eli, who was 98 years old and blind. He said to Eli, I have just come from the battlefield. I was there this very day. What happened to my son? Eli demanded. Israel has defeated Philistines. The messenger replied. The people have been slaughtered, and your son and your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were also killed. And the Ark of God has been captured. Then the messenger mentioned what had happened to the Ark of the Lord. Eli fell backward from his seat beside the gate. He broke his neck and died, for he was old and overweight. He had been Israel's judge for 40 years. Eli's daughter-in-law, the wife of Phinehas, was pregnant and near her time of delivery. When he heard that the Ark of God had been captured, and her father-in-law and husband died, she went into labor and gave birth. She died in childbirth. But before she passed away, and the midwives tried to encourage her, don't be afraid, they said, you have a baby boy. But she did not answer or pay any attention to them. She named the child Ichabod, which means, where is the glory? For she said, Israel's glory is gone. She named him because the Ark of God had been captured and because her father-in-law and husband were dead. Then she said, The glory has been captured from Israel, for the Ark of the Lord has been captured. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So I want to thank God for the life of Eli. I think overweight is not it's not the problem of today. Yeah, it's a long time ago. Amen. For 40 years, he was judging Israel as priest, and he didn't have chance to do exercise. Amen. So once we are doing the word of God, let's find time to do exercise so that we don't grow. Amen. Okay, that said, I think we can learn lesson from this. I said the topic for discussion this morning is what? Protecting the glory of God in the church. And I said, when we talk about church, you're talking about you and I. So you have an individual responsibility to make sure that you also protect the glory of God that is in you and over you. Amen. And then when we meet as a church at PRWC, the glory of God must be seen in this place. And it is a collective responsibility to make sure that we maintain it. So as our brother read, there was a war between the Philistines and the Israelites. And Bible said they camped at what? Ebenezer. I think we all understand what Ebenezer is. Ebenezer is what? How far the Lord has helped us. So under normal circumstances, they come to the place where they were very, the help of God was assured. And we have camped at Ebenezer. So the understanding, once we are at Ebenezer, God is going to help us. But lo and behold, they were defeated at Ebenezer. And Bible said for the first round that they went for the war, 3,000 people were defeated. God, there was something going on, and which they know, and they didn't do anything about it. I pray that God will open our eyes, that we will be conversant with things that were going on in the church, and act appropriately. Hallelujah. So they were defeated. And the verse 3 says, when the people came into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? So they knew that it was the Lord who was fighting their battles for them. So if they have been defeated, it means God decided not to fight for them this time around. Hallelujah. So if you surrender everything to God, he will take charge. Amen. So the battle is the Lord's, not you. So give it to him, and he will fight for you. I always say that God knows the difference between the battle that men are supposed to fight and the battle that God himself has to fight. So if you are able to discern that this one belongs to God, give it to him. If it is for you, then God will give you the strength and the grace to fight that battle. But Israelites, they knew very well that one day they have the presence of God with them. The assurance, the victory is assured. They will be victorious in all their battles. So once they were defeated, they said, why has the Lord defeated us today? Not them, but the Lord. So they were able to what? Diagnose the reason why the defeat came. But the solution was wrong. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Say, we have been defeated. It means God has refused to fight for us. What can we do to assure victory? Bible said, let us take to ourselves from Shiloh the ark of the covenant of the Lord, that it may come among us and deliver us from the power of the enemy. So they knew very well that if they are able to bring the ark of God in their midst, God will be there to them. They will see the presence of God. And as I said earlier, once the presence is there, it means the power of God is also there. Hallelujah. So they diagnosed their problem all right. But the solution didn't lie with bringing the ark. The solution lie with them. There was something wrong with the people of God, and they should have known that. But they prescribed a wrong solution. So Bible said they sent people to Shiloh from there carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord of hosts, who sit above the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the ark of the covenant of God. Look at the people who carried the ark from Shiloh to Ebenezer. Who were they? Two sons of Israel, Eli, who were the priest. Who were the priest? If you go back there at verse chapter 3, it talks about these two men, these sons of Israel. Please, let's go back to chapter 2, verse 12, and look at this. Let's learn a lesson about this young man who were fortunate enough to be the priest of Israel in the place of their father, who was old and overweight and blind and therefore could not perform his job very well. So 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. Look, they were pastors, priests. But the Bible is describing as what? Worthless. Worthless men. They did not know the Lord. Very unfortunate. How can a priest not knowing God? There is something wrong with that. And yet they were performing their priestly duties. How were they able to become pastors or priests? Because their father, it was an inheritance. So these people didn't have the call of God upon their lives. By the virtue of the fact that their dad was a priest, they also became priest. So they saw the priestly job as a vocation and not as a calling. I pray that we have to be very careful about the way we select leaders. We want to find out if they have the call of God upon their lives and they understand the nature of the job so that they can do it and do it well, else the whole congregation, the whole church will suffer. Amen. They were worthless men. Describing the pastor as a worthless man, then there's a question mark as to the one who recommended such a person to become a full-time minister, a full-time or an elder to occupy that sensitive position in the church. Hallelujah. So the sons of Eli were what? Worthless men, number one. Number two, they did not know the Lord. And then number three, and they did not know the custom of the priest with the people. So they didn't know the functions and the duties of a minister. And yet they were doing it. No wonder they did it wrong, because they didn't know it. And they didn't allow themselves to be taught. We pray that whenever we call for retreats, the officers of church will come. Will respond to the invitation, because that's where we learn how to do our jobs and do it well. Hallelujah. Occasionally, they organize seminars and seminars and training for all the ministers. They want us to know and understand our calling and do our jobs very well. Hallelujah. So these people didn't know, one, they were worthless. Number two, they didn't know God. Number three, they didn't know how to perform their duties. And number four, they didn't know how to relate with the people of God that they are serving. Amen. That is why they were performing their jobs anyhow. Bible said that when we read from 13, and the custom of the priests with the people, when any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest servant would come while the meat was boiling, and the three with a three-pronged fork in his hand. Then he would thrust it into the pan, or kettle, or the cauldron, or a pot. And all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself, which was very wrong, because there were certain portions of the sacrifice that were assigned to the priest. Others did not belong to them, but because they didn't know their job, the custom of their job, they would come, put their fork on the curtain, and whatever comes out, whether it belongs to them or not, they would take it. Do I blame them? I don't know who recommended it. Their pastor didn't have the chance to teach them to do their job very well. Hallelujah. And eventually, the whole congregation, the whole people suffered. Hallelujah. So, and then when the father himself was describing the boys, Bible said that they were sleeping with the woman who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. Yeah, they were sleeping because the women were not supposed, only the priests, the Levites, were supposed to come into the sanctuary to serve. But the women were looking for something to do, so they would come at the doorway, serving over there with good intentions. And these ministers were seducing the women, and then to the point of sleeping with them. Hallelujah. In those days, the mission house was very close to the church. I've been told that this one was some time ago part of this church. So the church, the priest was staying there. So these young men, if they were to be here, when the ladies come here to the parking lot and then the doorway to serve, they would take the ladies to the mission house and sleep with them. Hallelujah. God have mercy on us. So these were the kind of people who were performing their priestly duties. And don't expect that God should live in that particular church. And when they decided to bring the ark, these are the people who carried the ark to Ebenezer with tainted, unclean hands, carrying the ark of God. Hallelujah. So the ark just became just a symbol. The presence of God was not with the ark. Hallelujah. We pray that God will have mercy on us. Else, we will do so many things in the church, organize programs, music group, praise and worship, prayer meetings, so many things, just to satisfy ourselves that we are doing the things of God. Meanwhile, God is not in his church. God should have mercy on us. Amen. So these people with tainted and unclean hands were the people who carried the ark to the war front, Ebenezer, where the people were fighting. So let's go back to chapter 4. So now we have seen the kind of life these people were leading and the kind of people who also carried the ark to the battleground. So we continue. So when the people of God saw that the ark has been brought, Bible said they were joyous, they were celebrating, thinking that once they see the ark, the presence of God also was with them. But not. So there was noise, a great shout in the camp of the Hebrews. And the Philistines heard what's going on. Then it was relayed to them that the people had brought the ark of the covenant, to the camp. So the Philistines, naturally, they had a genuine fear. They were afraid because they know what God can do. No, maybe they were not talking about the covenant, but the ark. But they know that once the presence of God has come, they will not be in a position to fight with these people. So they said, God has come into the camp. Like the Israelites were deceived that the presence of God, the presence of the ark will represent the presence of God. So they also thought likewise. And they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe to us, for nothing like this has happened before. Woe to us, who shall deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? You see, mighty gods, because they know there were so many gods. And that the gods, according to them, the gods of the Israelites were very powerful. And once they have come, there was no way they could defeat the people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. These are the gods who smote the Egyptians with all kinds of plagues in the wilderness. Well, that's what understanding of the God himself. To them, they were just ordinary God. But to Israelites, he was the Elohim, the creator of the true creator, the true almighty God. This is how they were seeing the gods of the Israelites. I don't know how the people of the world see your God. Irrespective of their perception, we see our God as a true living God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. So we don't have to allow people to define our God for us. We should know our God. We should define him, and we should see him as the way he wants us to see him. Amen. So these are the girls who, so they heard what this God did for them when they were in Egypt, when God performed that 10 great miracles, which eventually led to the Exodus. Amen. So they said, yes, God, their God has been brought to this camp. But at the same time, he said, take courage and be men, O Philistines, or you become slaves to the Hebrews, as they have been slaves to you. Therefore, be men and fight. Hallelujah. Therefore, be what? Be men and fight. So I want you to tell yourself, I'm going to be a man and I'm going to fight the enemy. Hallelujah. Yeah, say that to yourself. I'm going to be a man and I'm going to fight the enemy. Hallelujah. Why? Because deep the Philistines knew something what the Israelites didn't know. Because if your God was with you, then there was no way we could have defeated you in the first round. So once we have brought the ark, yes, it has caused some fear, some panic among us, but we want to encourage ourselves because we know that these people have sinned against their God. And once they have sinned against their God, God is not going to support them in this venture. And therefore, let's take courage and fight. Hallelujah. Because we know that we'll be able to, because for this time around, again, God, their God is not going to fight for them. The Bible said they mastered courage and then they fought the Israelites. So the Philistines fought the Israelites and the Israelites were defeated. And many men fled to his tent. And every man, fled to his tent. And the slaughter was great. For there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. The first time, 4,000 people were killed. But this time, the number is what? going up, because despite the fact that the ark was in their presence, they were still suffering more defeat because there was something wrong with them. Hallelujah. So, church, sometimes we don't have to deceive ourselves. But the fact that you call yourself a Christian, the fact that you go to church every Sunday, it's not a guarantee that God is with you. You have to sit down, do serious introspection about your life, and see if you have walking with God perfectly. Hallelujah. Else that deception, that Satan can deceive you. Oh, he doesn't care. Go to church, because after church, you know you are going to live in sin. So he doesn't fear your Christianity, and he can still defeat you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, hey, praise the Lord. So they were defeated. And the defeat, as I said, was so great. And then the two sons, the 30,000 people who died included the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and then his brother Phinehas. And the ark of God was captured. Hallelujah. So it means the ark was just a symbol, because I don't think the enemy can capture God himself. It was just a symbol. So as I said earlier, if you're not very careful, we'll be doing so many things, and yet God is not in what we are doing. Amen. So this man from Benjamin ran from the battle line and came to Shiloh to deliver the message to Eli, who was anxiously waiting for the outcome of the war. And Bible said that when the man came, that man was very blunt. No sugar-coated. He went straight to the point. Yeah, Israelites have been defeated. The people of God have been defeated. And many soldiers have fallen, including your two sons. Hallelujah. And above all, the Ark of the Covenant also has been taken away. And when this man heard the news, I don't know whether it was the ark or the sons who died, Bible says he fell down and he broke his neck and he also died. And then Phinehas' wife was pregnant. When he also heard the news that the ark has been taken and her husband is dead, Bible says also he gave birth prematurely and he also died an impromptu death. Once he was dying, the little life that was in her, he was able to name the child, and he said, this child is going to be called what? Ichabod, meaning the glory of God has been departed. But I think the glory had already been what? Departed long time ago, when Phinehas and his brother were doing such nasty things in the house of God. Amen. Oh, amen. Oh, amen. Amen. So it is possible that if you are not careful, we are not careful as a church, the glory of God can depart from here. And yet we come to church every Sunday and do our own things. So if you continue from the next chapter, this very ark, which was captured by the people, which was not able to fight the battles for them, according to chapter 5, Bible said that when Now the Philistine took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. Then the Philistine took the ark of God and brought it to the house of Dagon and set it before Dagon. And when the Ashdodites arose early next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen on his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. They took Dagon and set him in his place again. But when they arose early the next morning, behold, Dagon had fallen his face to the ground before the ark, and the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hand were cut off on the threshold. Only the trunk of Dagon was left to him. Amen. So the very ark, which was in the presence of God, the presence of the Israelites, and couldn't perform any miracle, when even the enemy was able to capture it and took it to their place, and they had the audacity to place the ark of God in the presence of their God, you saw what happened. It means God was still there. The presence was still there. The power was still there. But because the people of God were not living in sin, they were not of giving respect and honor to God, God couldn't do what you could have done. Hallelujah. So church of God need to be very careful. I said we need to be very careful. Hallelujah. So it means that the power of God has not changed, his glory has not changed, his presence has not changed. The only thing that has changed is the life of his people. And therefore, God couldn't do what he always does best. We pray that God will live in his church. And if he will live in his church, it depends on you and I. If you can give him the honor, if you can give it the respect that God deserves, if we can live a righteous life, that will permit God to live in his place. Amen. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. So we have seen what contributed to the glory of God to be departed from church. One, we have seen the life of the two pastors who were leading the church. Their lives were not right. They were not doing things right. They did not have respect for God. Not only them, Eli himself also contributed to the glory, to the departure of the glory of God. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Is it 12 or 2? Let me see. Chapter 2. Verse number 22 to 25. Now Eli was very old, and he heard all that his sons were doing to all Israel. He was old, but he heard every bad news about his sons and how they lay with the woman who served at the doorway of the tent of meeting. And what did he do? Only thing that he could say, he could do, what he said to them, why do you do such things? The evil things that are here from all these people. No, my sons, for the report is not good, which I hear the Lord's people circulating. You see, so he could hear, and the order, he just a little reprimand. Instead of taking drastic action against his two sons, what am I hearing? It's not good. Stop it. But this man could have taken drastic action. Yes, they are your sons. If you are not doing the things right, you have every right to sack them, to fire them, and bring in people who will do the job for them. Because God himself eventually intervened and God took that drastic action. Hallelujah. He made sure these people were eliminated, and he brought up somewhere who was living right to be in their place and do things right for him. Amen. So Eli himself also contributed to the departure of the glory of God himself. Amen. So those people who are in the leadership position, if you are an apostle and masters are behaving, make sure you take drastic action against them. I love COP. I love this church. Hallelujah. Irrespective of your position, if you are not doing things right, you'll be disciplined. We want to make sure that we keep the glory of God in the church. Amen. Amen. And what about the ladies? The ladies who were there, they were allowed themselves to be seduced. You see, it is not easy. If a woman says no, God has given the strength to resist. First of all, they could have resisted the temptation. But these ladies allowed themselves and then connive with the pastors to do a wrong thing in the church. I pray that the ladies here will have the strength and the boldness to say no to any person, being a pastor, an elder, whoever, who is making advances to them. He knows very well that this will eventually lead to sin. Learn how to say no. Hallelujah. And last time I was here, a pastor was preaching and he was talking about a lady who was a secretary to the boss. And the boss was making advances, trying to kiss the lady. And the lady had the boldness to slap the CEO. And this man also couldn't fire the lady. Because if you want to fire her, you have to give reasons why the lady is being fired. Amen. So sometimes if you have to slap people, do it to protect the glory of God in the church. Amen. And the other people, the remaining Israelites, all that they could do was to complain. They went to Eli and then complain to him. Sometimes it is good to complain, but sometimes it's much better to also take action. Hallelujah. There were just two people leading the whole congregation astray. Maybe they could have rebelled. Maybe they could have seized them physically, thrown them out of the sanctuary so that the glory of God will be prevailed. Sometimes certain things demand drastic actions if you really want to maintain the glory of God in the church. Amen. Sometimes the pastor and the leaders may have the boldness to come and stand here and suspend people who are committing sin, who are living in sin, all for me to make sure that the person will come back to his senses and live right, and at the same time protect the glory of God in the church. Amen. We should have that boldness to do that, because if the glory departs, the departure is going to affect everybody negatively. Amen. Oh, amen. So we have seen how, well, the reasons why the glory departed from the people of God, and that caused that major defeat to them. And we have seen the contribution every member of the congregation, their contribution, how they performed or how they contributed to the departure of the glory of God. So what can we do? What can we do? What can we do to ensure that the glory maintains in the church? I think I've already said that. One, if you are a pastor, if you are a leader, wherever you your position, first of all, you need to understand that wherever you find yourself, it's a call from God. Hallelujah. You are not an elder by chance. I'm not a pastor by chance. I sense, even before I was called, the inner conviction that God is going to call me one day to become a pastor. The conviction was there. So I understood that the calling of God was upon my life. And therefore, I tailored my life in such a way that I can also be, people will see it, and then I will be called. Hallelujah. Likewise, if you are an elder of the church, it's not by chance, it's not by an accident. There are so many men in the church. How come you are the only person that was called at that time? It means God has called you. Understand your calling. Hallelujah. And if you understand your calling, you have called to do a particular job in the church. Make sure you are doing your job and doing it right. Amen. So if the pastor is doing his job right, the elders are doing their jobs right, and the deacons and deaconess and everybody, the key, you are doing your job very well, then it means that we are contributing to the maintenance of the glory of God in his church. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. So we need to know the God who has called us, and we need to understand our callings, and we need to do the work the calling demands of us. If we're able to do it and do it right, then the glory of God will continue to remain in the church. Amen. I've already said that Eli was supposed to have taken that drastic action, which he refused. And again, I have explained that the ladies also allowed themselves to be tempted and to be seduced. They gave in easily, and that also contributed to that. And if I advise the ladies in the church that we take that firm decision that we are going to live for Christ in the church. Hallelujah. Irrespective of the temptations that will come upon us, we have made a decision to serve God and serve him righteously. Amen. And our friends also explained that sometimes as congregation, if the leadership is not doing things right, we should have that boldness. Amen. If we have to call our superiors to come and do that intervention, we have to do it, because the presence of the glory is going to affect everybody. Amen. So the people of God in Israel at that time, the church of God at that time, allowed the glory to be departed. And I have already said that every one of them play his or her part not well. But we want to learn a lesson from this. And this year is a glorious church. God wants to build a glorious church. God wants to live in his church gloriously. It depends on you and I. He's always faithful. He will do his part. And if we also do our part and do it right, we will continue to see the glory of God in this place. Hallelujah. I've already told you that if you're talking about the church, you and I, we are the church. Amen. So watch your life. Watch your life. Do things right. If you do that, the glory of God will be seen in your life. And through that, we can possess nations for Christ. Amen. So I pray this morning, that we will learn lessons from these people and then avoid their mistakes and do things right, and we'll continue to see the glory of God in this church and in your life. May the Lord Almighty God bless you this morning. Amen. Amen.